do I trust God? Only conditionally, that if he does what I think he's supposed to do, which is to save the Alcas, then he is God.
Jim Elliott and four other missionaries were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time about letting God be God. When my husband Jim Elliott was killed in Ecuador, the news traveled around the world. It was not just Jim, it was five people that were killed at the same time, but there was a flood of mail that came to us widows, and there was a lot of editorializing. To my surprise, there was not very much editorializing in the secular press, other than an expression of simple respect for men who would die for what they believed. Not that people understood what it was they believed or were sympathetic with it, but it's always heartening to know that there are people who believe something sincerely enough and with strong enough commitment to actually give their lives for it. There are not very many things worth dying for, and if a thing is not worth dying for, it's really not worth living for either, is it? We frequently forget that. But I must confess that I was disturbed by some of the editorializing which appeared in Christian publications. The reason I was disturbed is because there seemed to be an underlying glibness, a certain pat answer to the death of these men, which was, to many of us, a great mystery. There was the assumption that the purposes of God are very plain in a case like this. We heard again and again the old saying, which is very true, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. I believed that. I was not irritated by that. But does this mean, then, that if five men shed their blood, that there would be an Alca church someday? And I puzzled over that when I thought, do I trust God only conditionally, that if he does what I think he's supposed to do, which is to save the Alcas, then he is God. And if he does not save the Alcas, then he's not God, and I can't really trust him. Or the other question that came to my mind was, what if nobody gets saved? What if no other missionary ever goes to the Alcas? What if there's never an Alca church? What will these same people who editorialized so glibly have to say about that? You know, Jesus had some rather stern things to say about those who always required signs. Paul said, the Greeks seek after wisdom, and the Jews require signs. And there are those today who look for thrills, for prosperity, for health, for wealth. And the gospel that is being preached by some is a gospel of prosperity. Do this, and God will do that for you. Give your money here, and God will multiply it 100-fold and give you more money than you've ever had in your life. I believe that we're to let God be God. Sometimes he does things the way we expect him to, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes what we've prayed for has been answered exactly as we hoped, and very often it's not. Well, for whom did those five missionaries go when they went to take the gospel to the Alcas? For the Alcas, of course, but not primarily. They went primarily in obedience to God. The truth is that not one of them ever had the opportunity to witness about Jesus Christ to those Alcas because they couldn't speak their language. It's difficult for people to grasp nowadays that anybody cares that much about anything, especially if it's invisible. Is there anything that you think is worth dying for? If you have trouble answering that question, then I would ask, what do you live for? If what you live for is not worth dying for, then it's not worth living for. God is God. In His will is my peace. And that peace is infinitely, immeasurably, and unspeakably beyond my imaginations. I think that I had been able to understand just about all the peace that I had ever had up until the time when my husband was killed. And it was in that worst possible experience, the worst thing that I could imagine happening to me then, that I discovered that the peace of God which passes all understanding is not a myth. It really does exist. Now the Auca story, which turned out so differently from what we had hoped and prayed, was a part of God's story. But it was only a tiny part. It made thundering headlines. It made a tremendous impact in the Christian church, and it continues to do so. I continue to get letters and phone calls and meet people whose lives have been changed through the death of those men. And I can see that God's story goes on and on. But it was only one small incident in the history of the Christian church, and there have been tens of thousands of martyrs. Strangely enough, there had been 5 young men killed in the jungles of Bolivia by a savage tribe just a few years before the incident in Ecuador, and hardly anybody had heard about it. It had seemed to make hardly any impact at all. Your story, what's your story about? It's part of God's story too, isn't it? God does have a plan for your life. There is a purpose behind it all. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. You may feel that your story is not at all dramatic, but remember that it's just as vital and just as decisive in the whole divine tapestry which God is at work on now. I think of the incident in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, which tells about the young man Saul being sent out to look for his father's lost donkeys. Now those donkeys had wandered away, and you can imagine what a nuisance it is if your animals get out of the fence or away from wherever they were supposed to be. And so Kish, the father of Saul, sent him out to look for the donkeys. And Saul took along a servant, and as they were looking for the donkeys, they found some girls drawing water. And they asked them about a certain prophet that the servant knew about, if he happened to be nearby, and the girls said, yes, there's a feast going on up at the hill shrine, and if you will go up there now, you will find the prophet there. And they went, and sure enough, the feast was going on, and sure enough, the prophet Samuel was there. And the prophet Samuel had received a message just the day before that he was to anoint Saul prince. As far as we know, God didn't tell him that he was going to find Saul at the hill shrine. But think back over the details of that story, which is a part of God's story that has been preserved for us in a book called the Bible. The details. The donkeys got lost. When did they get lost? Well, right at the time of the feast at the hill shrine. So what happened when the donkeys got lost? Well, Kish sends his son out and says, go find them. Saul goes out, takes a servant along. Perhaps he had several servants to choose from, but the one that he chose happened to know about the existence of a man named Samuel who might be able to give them some help in finding these animals. They find some girls drawing water just at that precise moment. Well, the girls undoubtedly drew water every day from the same place, but not all day every day. And just as Saul and his servant came along, there they were, drawing water. So they ask them, do you know about a prophet named Samuel? And they just happened to know. Are these coincidences? The girls told them where to go. They went up to the hill shrine. It happened to be at just the time of the feast, and Samuel the prophet happened to be there. And so because some donkeys wandered away, Saul was anointed king of Israel. God is at work on an intricate pattern. He who choreographs the stars in their courses also is in charge of the tiniest details of our lives. If God were not in charge of the little things, he couldn't be in charge of the big things. Let's not give way to the urge to oversimplify, to explain, to demonstrate, to prove. Often people ask me, how many Alcas are Christians? I tell them I don't know. Well, didn't they all get saved? Didn't I hear that all the men that killed the five missionaries got saved? And I say, well, perhaps you did. I'm really not very sure about that, but I can leave it in God's hands. I believe there are Christians there. I believe that God is at work among the Alcas. But if there were no Alca church, not one Alca believer, could I still believe that God knew exactly what he was doing when he took my husband? I can, because he's God, because his promises are there, and because the part of faith is to leave things where they belong, in God's hands. It is the part of faith to try to find their meaning, but I must find the meaning in God himself, not necessarily in a particular outcome which I expect. It's my job to conform myself to his loving purpose. And then everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to those who love God.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.